So if you go on social media or when you hear people talk, people would say, I hope karma get back to you. When somebody do something bad to someone and they think they should deserve it. Number one, as Christians, we don't believe in karma. We don't believe in whatever the world believed in Greek or Roman mythology. They would call it fate, F-A-T-E. Even the gods cannot escape the hand of fate or something that is even beyond them, something that's mysterious and they can never understand. We cannot escape fate. And for some reason, all we can ever do, according to the Greek and Romans and many mythologies, all we can do is do good things and hopefully we bank ourselves with the good things we've made that's going to help us escape the cycle of reincarnation, to escape the cycle of suffering, according to what Buddha would say, right? But however, if we judge according to karma or bad karma or good karma or whatever you want to call that stuff, you know, then Jesus would be the most despicable person ever. How can karma work on him when he did everything good, yet he suffered so much? Where's goodness in that? Where's God in that? Where's justice in that? Where's the truth in that? If karma really at work, then why did Jesus have to die? This question of human suffering has always been a question that people struggle with for millennia, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And we can never understand why there are some bad people who get everything they want, but good people suffer. But today we hear the Lord Jesus tells us one thing that is so true and real, that in my own Vietnamese culture, there's a saying that said, the net of heaven might be sparse, but it catches everybody. So ultimately, God had the final word, and God had the final justice. If we worry about trying to seek justice for ourselves, most of the time, I can tell you, you know, we're going to end up being resentful, angry, and self-loathing and hating the world. However, we believe that God can bring good out of evil, even at times when we're out of control, even at times when we don't understand why, even at times when we have to suffer. You know, I questioned a lot when I was in Vietnam, like envious and jealous of the rich people who were communists. I said, how come they have everything, you know, and me here don't have anything? And, you know, I was angry for a good while. And sometime I would wish to have the little that they have. But by only by the unimaginable providence of God, never would I imagine that I would end up here in America. And did the road here in America to where I am today easy? The answer was no. I had to learn the language. My parents had to endure a lot of prejudice and a lot of discrimination, a lot of hatred. But we knew the cost of what it means to have freedom. We knew what it means to have an opportunity. We knew that God is always with us, even in the unknown. And this is the beautiful things that even when we cannot comprehend what's going on, God is still in control. God had our good in mind, not just the immediate good, but our eternal good. That's what we heard in the collect or the opening prayer today, that God desires our good. And therefore, we pray that God continue to nurture that good within us so that when we're facing the injustice, the evil of this world, we might not lose heart. I know it's so easy to lose heart when we see things seem to be falling apart. But when was the time in history when things did not fall apart? Please tell me, when was in history that things did not fall apart? Our world was messed up ever since original sin happened. But yet, the grace of God had helped us as humanity overcome one thing after another. And the things that are happening in our lives now, if it's not by the grace of God, we wouldn't be here today. If we only believe in karma, then the karma matrix would fail at times when injustice and evil happen. But we believe in the providential goodness and love of God that help us to overcome, to embrace the creative tension and the evil that exists in this world and not lose hope. Today's gospel reading is from the immediate verse after last week's gospel reading. Last week, Peter professed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he was given the key. And today, out of good intention, Peter was trying to deter Jesus from his own mission and purpose. He said, "Oh no, Lord, that can happen." And what did the Lord said? "Get behind me, Satan. You think not as God does, but that man do." And at times too, we are our own antichrist. We are our own antichrist. Because the devil, the evil one, is able to see our weaknesses and is attack us, and it lock us in despair and negativity and hopelessness and make us turn against God. We try to answer the things that are happening in this world in human terms, in political terms, but we forget that the evil one is at work to sow division among us, to sow hopelessness, and to sow things that deter us from loving God truthfully. To be honest with you, I had to go to confession just this week alone because I felt in my own life the devil was creeping in and he was sowing negativity and hopelessness, and I got to nip his thing in the bud so that he cannot control me and turn me against God. I don't know about you, but in my own life, this is how usually the devil attacked me. It's just that he began to make me lose sleep at night. Even though I'm not thinking about anything, you know, but I would not have a good night's sleep at times. Turning, tossing, and then about 2:30 or 3 a.m. in the morning, that's when my mind get a little bit heavier. And at times, it's scary. But at times too, I tell him, "In the name of Jesus Christ, be gone." And I do the sign of the cross. I said, "Be gone, you evil one, oh pitiful one." I know the devil is real because the devil attacks in ways that are not in the psyche, nor in ways that are humanly speaking. But he attacks and he makes us agitated and turn us against God. And at those moments, it's so important that we never forget who we are, never forget our mission, never forget what God calls us to be. And it's okay to embrace reality and things that are out of our control because God is in control. Even when we're suffering, it's not God who is punishing us. Even in our sufferings, God is with us. This whole week, as a matter of fact, yesterday I went to see someone who is actively dying right now. That person haven't been able to eat in a good while, and it's unconscious. And I went to visit that person, and when I went in, even the nurse and the family told me, "Father, don't be surprised if the person won't answer you when you give the last rites. So I gave the last rite, and I can sense that this person is suffering because the health of this person isn't well. But as soon as I gave the last rite, especially when I absolve the sin and give the apostolic pardon, as well as at that moment, that person's eyes open up and look straight up. And when I said the Our Father and the Hail Mary, that person's eyes look at me and I got scared, you know, at times. But I know that even in the midst of this person's suffering, it's not meaningless. It's not hopelessness. Because God never abandoned this person. God loved this person. And God is present with this person, even in their suffering. We believe that. Even in our suffering, even in our hardest trial, we're not alone. And this is not something that I'm trying to tell you as a fake things. I can affirm to you that even in our hardest trial, we're not alone because Jesus Christ is with us. So therefore, we need to do whatever St. Paul tells us in the second reading today. Do not conform yourself to the things of this world, but be transformed in the Lord. Do not let the value of this world deter you and I from God, but transform and lift ourselves up to God. At times, be patient with yourself. At times, be patient with God, especially at the moment when you don't understand what's going on. If God allowed you and I to comprehend everything, our mind would blow up. Because we're finite, we're limited, we're humans, and we can never grasp or understand everything. And also, too, if God allowed us to see everything, then perhaps we're not here. We heard in the first reading, oh God, you duped me. You duped me. But I allowed myself to be duped because I trust in you. So at times, God don't reveal to us what we would like to know, what we like to control for our own good, so that we learn to trust in the person of God, His providential care, and His love for us, instead of having the answer right away. I'm not here to give you every answer that's going on in your life, or why do sufferings happen, or why do this and that things happen. All I can tell you is from my own personal experience and according to the experience of many saints and the teaching of the church, that Christ is always faithful. He will never abandon us, and even in our hardest moment and trials, even in our sufferings, even on the path of the cross, even when the devil is tempting us, even when we are filled with hopelessness, even when we're confused, Jesus is with us. He never abandoned us. So therefore, let us do not conform ourselves to the things of this world or be attacked by the devil and give in to it, but transform our lives by lifting up our hearts and uniting our hearts to Christ Jesus, who's always faithful to us. Why? Because He chose to freely to endure death on the cross for each and every one of us, that each and every one of us are worth loving by God.